This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Are you listening to the Bite Size Business Breakfast? Everything we've been up to on the first day of a brand new week, Sunday, October the 17th. And that is finding out as much as we possibly can about the world's largest observation wheel, Ain Dubai. We have spoken to the big boss of Dubai Holding Entertainment, the COO, Mohammed Sharaf. He's been explaining to us what's gone into building the wheel, and we've had the business case, what needs to happen to run it as a commercial enterprise, from the managing director, Ronald Drake. Those two great interviews for you here. Plus, oil crossed $85 a barrel this weekend. We've been speaking to oil expert and senior oil broker Matt Stanley of Star Fuels.
Ask Serena.
I mean, about it. Exciting as having Serena Kelly in the studio, obviously. Serena!
We can't go and find.
No,
I didn't think so.
No, you cannot.
No, not allowed.
Neither can your children.
Yes, okay.
Quite seriously, we've got the auditors in. We've read all the instructions. We're making sure that we get it all 100% right, because you don't want to mess this one up, do you? With quite a lot of cash, 12,000. 1,200,000 up for.
120.
Thank you. Crikey! I've done it already.
The check looked
Ignore
pretty impressive.
The auditors are like, how much is she giving away? Richard, can you clarify for us?
So it's 10,000 dirhams a day over 12 days. If no one gets it today, 12. There is a rollover. In total, it will be 120. It is capped at 120. Not a penny more, not a penny less.
Phil, Richard. Not a Phil more, not a Phil less.
Thank you.
Serena.
Yes.
Come on.
Okay. Well, as you've been talking about Expo, that's where we're going to stick with Expo 2020 Dubai. What did you miss over the weekend? A march was held to mark International White Cane Day, observed worldwide every year, October 15th, to recognise visually impaired people's achievements. The photographs are quite impressive up on the Erin News Centre. The march was led by His Highness Sheikh Mansour bin Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, Chairman of the High Committee for the Protection of the Rights of People of Determination. Several senior officials, visually impaired people and Expo visitors all participated in the event. And just a point to remember, people of determination are just one of the many categories that are able to visit Expo 2020 Dubai for free. And Expo also allows you to take your service dog if you have one as well. They must be kept on a leash or a harness that identifies them as said service dog. Visitors, you are in charge of them. You can't hand them off to somebody working there if you want to go and do an activity. But they do advise you to take a water bowl for them. And they do have up to 4 dedicated areas where they can relieve themselves as well.
Okay.
Slovakia unveiled the country's first hydrogen car. The sports car produces no harmful emissions, and you can see it at their Expo 2020 Dubai Pavilion. The theme of the Slovakia Pavilion is Movement of the Future, Hydrogen, Aviation and Space, highlights the country's sustainable strategy. Among the other things that you can see there are the space robot Androver created for NASA, which is quite apt because this week down at Expo is Space Week. And I know the three of you had a very special experience at the Expo Studios on Thursday. So Expo 2020 Dubai, playing host to the Premier League and Caribou Cup trophies from tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So October 18th and 19th, it's all part of the partnership with Manchester City. Trophies will be on display at the Aussie Park five-a-side pitch at Expo Sports Fitness and Wellbeing Hub. This is part of the Special City Football School sessions that are ongoing there. So that is from 4:30 in the afternoon, October 18th, and then 3:30 in the afternoon, October 19th. Photo opportunities, if you want them, available on October 18th after that session. And just for Man City fans, there is a special viewing party, a fan club screening of the men's team taking on Club Brugge in the UEFA Champions League. That's from 8:45, and that's happening 19th of October, and that's Garden on One, where also the trophies will be available to be seen there as well.
Okay, let's talk COVID. Give us the numbers from the weekend, which are inching towards those double figures, and then we'll look at what's happening around the world.
So Thursday, you saw new cases 116, Friday 104, Saturday 115 new cases. That's after more than 362,000 tests were conducted across the country. Recovery is 159 announced yesterday. No fatalities, and your active cases have dropped from 4,270. We are currently at 4,226.
Okie dokie. Around the world, we've got Melbourne coming out of its sixth lockdown, 5 days earlier than they thought they were going to, because they are getting close to that 70% vaccination target. That is despite 1,800 odd new cases today announced in Victoria. But the big news of the weekend for Australians looking to get home was flights and quarantine, wasn't it?
That's right. Qantas restarting some of its international routes from November 1st. And as you said, it's after Australia announced a lifting of COVID-19 restrictions on vaccinated citizens and permanent residents. So information regarding flights to the UAE, not available yet, but the Aero News Centre has reached out for comment. But here is what we know at the moment. Qantas will operate up to 5 return flights a week from Sydney to London and up to 4 return flights a week from Sydney to LA. This is from November 1st. And again, these initial flights are limited to Australian citizens, permanent residents and their immediate families and parents. It's in line with Australian government requirements. But of course, in regards to the vaccines that are being accepted, the TGA approved vaccines, Oxford, AstraZeneca, Pfizer, Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. And of course, you need that negative COVID-19 test before boarding the flight as well. Can't be more than 72 hours old. But for more details, they are available up on the Aero News Centre app.
This is the Bite-Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
Big excitement in Dubai this week because Ayn Dubai, the world's largest observation wheel, finally opens its doors to the public. Joining us in the studio to tell us more now is the Chief Operating Officer of Dubai Holding Entertainment, the parent company, Mohammed Sharaf. Mohammed, good morning. Ahlan wa sahlan.
Good morning.
Full disclosure, we are also part of Dubai Holding Entertainment, which makes Mohammed Sharaf my boss. But nevertheless, Mohammed, tell us about what's going to happen later on this week.
So we're very excited to unveil and open Ayn Dubai to the public on the 21st of October. Ayn Dubai has really been a marvel of engineering. There's been a lot of hard work that has gone into getting us to this point, and we are very proud to finally be at the opening of Ayn Dubai.
Well, you mentioned engineering, so let me ask you that question, because your colleague, Ronald Drake, who's the general manager, and he's on the show a little bit later on, I saw on his LinkedIn, he posted a documentary called Impossible Engineering, and it's a one-hour documentary on this, just how challenging it was to build the world's largest observation wheel, and the largest by some distance, almost twice the size of the London Eye, on an offshore island here in Dubai.
You hit the nail on the head right there, Richard. When you think about the Ayn Dubai and you put it in comparison to the other wheels that have been built over time, the London Eye is at 135 meters and was built over 20 years ago. The number of observation wheels that have surpassed that have been very limited. And if you think about 135 and the current largest wheel is at 168, which is the High Roller in Las Vegas. Ayn Dubai stands at about 250 plus. And you're talking about almost doubling the size of the wheel. And, you know, you could think that doubling the size would only cause maybe double the problems or double the challenges. But it actually grows exponentially. The challenges that we faced were immense. And the reason why we go after projects like this that push the boundaries of engineering is because it pushes us as individuals, it pushes us as teams, it pushes us as a country to overcome, adapt, and overcome challenges that we wouldn't necessarily face in the normal course of our daily lives or business. And we gain a wealth of experience in doing that. And that is experience that can help us not just in similar projects, but could be applicable anywhere else, either in the world or in engineering solutions that could be useful in different sectors as well.
Let's talk about tourism. What's the ROI? Because it must have cost a fortune. What's the ROI for Dubai as a tourism destination?
When we think of Ayn Dubai as part of Dubai's tourism strategy, Dubai has been at the forefront of travel and tourism for quite some time. And what we've been very focused on is creating diversity in that offering. And the more diverse our offering, I think the more sticky Dubai is as a destination for tourists. We have one of the most amazing beachfront destinations, I think, anywhere in the region or even in the world when you look at that whole JBR Blue Waters Island. And when you do go up on Ain Dubai eventually, you'll get to see a magnificent backdrop of JBR, the beach, panning across the new Dubai harbor as well, and get glimpses of the Palm Jumeirah. And when you look out the other side of it, you have this magnificent view of the sun setting on the Arabian Gulf, which is my favorite part of that. But when you look at what that has done, that has created another destination that people will want to spend 2 or 3 days exploring. And that's what we really were looking to achieve here.
What kind of visitor numbers can you get from these wheels? What do Vegas get? What does London get? And what do you think Dubai can get in terms of annual visitor numbers on the wheel?
Well, I mean, when we've looked at visitor numbers, we've obviously, the studies and everything were done in an environment that did not contemplate anything like a global pandemic and COVID. And that has altered and has changed a bit of our strategy. As we are getting out of the pandemic, and, you know, we're blessed to be in the UAE, and our leadership's plan to get us out of COVID quicker than the most other countries seems to be paying off, and what we've seen has had a great positive effect. If you look at Expo has actually done quite well, and you guys have been down there every day since the opening, and that's the important thing is that we are focused on sustainably coming back. If you look at, you know, what have most of these assets done pre-COVID, you're talking. London, I think, is somewhere around touching 3 million visitors a year. Is that something that will be able to bounce right back to in the years to come? I think it might take a bit of time to build up. So we'll have to obviously, not be too optimistic here, but we are cautiously optimistic that we will be able to ramp up Ain Dubai as a tourist destination very quickly.
Okay, so I get what's in it for Dubai. It's another massive draw in terms of tourism. But what about for Dubai Holding, a commercial entity? You're the chief operating officer. Yeah. You've got your targets, your profit and loss to hit. Yeah. Is 130 dirhams a ticket it starts from? Is this a profit center in itself for Dubai Holding, or is it just your kind of gift to Dubai, your gift to the nation?
No, I mean, when we look at entertainment, and entertainment has become a very important part of tourism. Dubai Holding, as you are probably aware, focuses on real estate, the other focuses on travel and tourism. And Jumeirah, obviously, being our flagship product when it comes to hospitality. But leisure and entertainment, we've been focused on a diverse offering. If you look at the likes of a Coca-Cola arena, which is the largest arena in the region. If you look at Ain Dubai, the largest observation wheel in the world, Global Village, a multicultural festival park that brings in millions of guests every year. And, you know, the Green Planet and numerous water parks, Dubai Parks and Resorts, our first endeavor in theme parks in the region. They all are drivers and enablers of a overall tourism strategy. They are very important. We are focused on making them all profitable. Some of them are very profitable. Some of them, and we need to leverage off of our leaders in the portfolio to help to support some of the other assets that we have. And when we look at specifically Ain Dubai and Blue Waters, Ain Dubai adds immense value to the entire island, and that island is actually a beautiful integrated concoction of everything that Dubai Holding has to offer, whether it's real estate, hospitality, leisure, entertainment, retail, and that's the thing that we're most excited of is generating value from these assets that make them make the collective greater than the sum of its parts.
Ain Dubai is opening this week. Tickets are available starting at 130 dirhams. Mohammed Sharaf, Chief Operating Officer, Dubai Holding Entertainment. Really appreciate you joining us. Great to see you in the studio this morning rather than on Microsoft Teams. Appreciate that. Good luck for the launch this week.
Thank you guys for having me this morning.
Are we going to go and have a look?
I know you two have already been round, haven't you? I'm the odd one out in the studio that I haven't been on it yet, so I'm feeling a little bit left out.
I might know a secret. And we might be down there a little bit quicker than you think. What do you think, Mohammed? When do you want us?
You're welcome anytime.
Watch this space.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite Size Business Breakfast.
Where we are talking oil this morning. You want one cool, you got to run, only oil crossing $85 a barrel this weekend. How high can that go? And what does it mean for us? We're going to speak to the man who predicted this last week, Matt Stanley, senior broker at Starfuels. Matt, good morning. Thanks for speaking to us.
Morning, Brandy. Even a broken clock is right twice a day, so don't worry.
Well, you were right. What's got us here? What has driven oil to $85?
Look, I mean, to a certain extent, I'm upset with myself that I was right. And it's an odd thing to say, I know, but I'm a story of my life a bit. But I don't see the end. I honestly don't see the end to this. I don't even think it's a rally anymore. It's a panic. It's not a rally that's based on fundamentals anymore and people scrambling around. It's purely there to just supply winter demand in Europe and Asia. And there isn't enough oil, so there's not enough gas. We will go to 90. I wouldn't be surprised if we went to 100 within 4 weeks if the current supply maintains. Gas oil, diesel in the UK hit $100 a barrel on Friday. It's extraordinary, and it's a sad state of affairs. And I'm a broker in the oil market, trading it every day, and I'm reluctant for prices to be up here. So it's an odd position we're all in.
Explain to us quickly, because unfortunately we don't have a lot of time with you. How does rising coal costs drive up oil prices?
Well, it's if countries say, let's use Pakistan for an example, okay? Pakistan, for power generation, air conditioning in the summer, use LNG, use gas. And that's a relatively new infrastructure they put in place about a decade ago. Gas prices, dollar equivalent per barrel, are about $220 a barrel at the moment. So you're not going to use that. Your feedstock, you can get a cheaper alternative. So then you move to coal. Coal is $150 a ton. It was $35 a ton maybe 14 months ago. So then what happens is people then switch to alternative fuels. And the power generation fuel for Pakistan they use is fuel oil. And all you're doing is you're just moving the rally. You're kicking that can from one segment of the energy market to the other. And, of course, they all work in harmony. Fossil fuels were... It's an important point. Sweden, for example, you know, they're burning oil at the moment. They were always a gas burning country for power generation. So it's holding back no prisoners at all. And as long as gas remains constrained and coal prices are elevated on the back of that, oil will follow.
Is it likely to change OPEC's current strategy of announcing at every meeting another 400,000 barrels?
This is the question, Brandy. And, you know, you look at... There was a Russian energy forum this week. His Excellency Al-Mazrahi said that the UAE will continue to invest in fossil fuel projects. I applaud that. I think that the stigma that comes with not talking about fossil fuel investments, he's taken the right route, and it's clear that we all use oil every single day. OPEC know that. I was disappointed, and along with a few other people in the market, that they didn't bring back more production. However, they're not just looking at the initial impact of oil shortages now. They're looking at it in Q1 next year, because if you're talking about oil production now and oil coming back, oil supply coming back, you're really talking about it arriving in, say, in December. Okay, so that's looking at January demand data, and there's more oil coming back. I was disappointed, but not wholly surprised, because the OPEC view is a longer term one. And at the moment, it's an initial short-term panic that we're going through, as I mentioned earlier.
Well, it's not the only panic in town. You're also a man who knows a fair few things about boats. We've got Dubai restricting inbound cargo to the airport for 6 days from this week. That is, of course, because of the global shipping crisis, the global supply chain crisis. Quickly, what are the knock-on effects of that?
Well, I mean, it's something we don't talk about anymore, which is COVID. You know, COVID is an unnecessary distraction. It's an inconvenience in a world that wants convenience back. And you can only have convenience back when you have the right people to supply something we all take so complacently. You know, let's say, for example, you order a PlayStation 5. Other games, consoles are available, apparently. And the minute that it arrives in Dubai, you think, oh, my PS5 is here. But you don't think about what it's got to get from the cargo warehouse in Sharjah or wherever it may be. It's got to then be sorted out and then get in a van and then get to your house. The issue is labor shortages. When you've got a world that is slowly creaking and well, coughing his way out of a pandemic, for want of a better term, you've also got to bear in mind that the places like even the Philippines, things are coming back, but in India and Pakistan, it's still very difficult to move around. And a lot of the labor shortages come from, you know, South Asian countries, Southeast Asia. If the people, the real heroes in all this, those kind of people who are there on the in the front line, and they are supplying all of us, and we all just take it for granted, if they're not there, because we are still in a pandemic, it manifests itself into the supply issue that we're all going through. And all that DXB have done, they've said, right, we can't take any more because we just don't have the people. So we're going to clear the backlog. Hopefully we can get some more people in as borders reopen. But until then, we've got to clear, you know, the backlog we've got at the warehouses.
30 seconds. What does it all mean? Higher oil prices, companies turning to air freight instead of shipping, the shipping problems mean for inflation and for us here in the UAE?
Well, Fox News blamed Joe Biden that he's going to ruin Christmas for everyone. Harsh. I thought that was a bit harsh, to be honest, but I'm not sure what Grandpa Joe has done to deserve that. But yeah, look, all of these supply issues, when we all really need something, you will then complain and people will then panic buy, which they are doing at the moment. There is not an energy crisis. Okay, in the UK, there is not an energy crisis. People are scrambling themselves over because they want to go about their daily routine without having any disruption. So they will continue to buy and outbid each other. And it will be the same come Christmas time when there is that extra demand for end user products. And we could run into a problem where we face hyperinflation because there's simply not the infrastructure around to get what we need, and it's a problem, and the oil market will reflect, and we could hit $100 a barrel by Christmas.
Matt Stanley, Senior Broker at Starfuels, thank you so much for your time and your opinions this morning.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast.
Talking of flying in the sky, Ron Drake is the general manager of AIM Dubai, the world's largest observation wheel. It opens on Thursday. Ron is with us in the studio. Morning, Ron.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So, what's going to happen on Thursday?
We launched the AIM Dubai, the world's largest observation wheel. 48 cabins, ultra luxurious cabins, enjoying the entire view of the Dubai skyline, the Palm Jumeirah, all the way down to see downtown. It's a fabulous experience.
Okay, so what's going to make this different to other wheels? You know, there are famous ones. You've worked in Vegas where you've got the High Roller. London's got the London Eye. There are others.
We did. We researched all of the observation wheels around the world. We took the best features of each of them, and then we customized it to the resident market here in Dubai. We have lots of different hospitality features that you'll only see at the AIM Dubai. We'll have dinners on board. We'll have premium meze. We'll have beverage on board. We're the ultimate celebration destination. We're really geared towards customizing our experiences to our guests. So if you have a birthday party for your kids or your partner, or you have anniversaries, reunions, weddings, proposals, all those are completely customized in our private cabins.
Okay, I've got a question for you. I've been out for lunch with Tom Urquhart on a number of occasions. It normally lasts 6 or 7 hours. That's probably, what, about 8 or 9 rotations of the eye? Can you accommodate a lunch for Tom?
We can accommodate a lunch for Tom, but he only gets 2 rotations. That's about 76 minutes is all we can give you, Tom.
Thanks, man.
But there'll be plenty of time. We just find out when our guests sit down, they really enjoy the socializing because it's photo taking. You know, you get to see all the great icons in Dubai. That's the most feature. But we also get lots of socializing, and everyone socializes better when they can enjoy a beverage or some food or snacks or canapes. All those things are really important to our experience.
Ron, best time to go? I mean, because obviously you see different perspectives of the city at different times of day.
You do. Because we also we move, which is one of our biggest features. You know, much more than a view, you get to see different perspectives of Dubai, but you also get to see different colors as you see the mornings and the blue waters of the Arabian Sea in front of you, all the yachts going around you, the beach. All those things are ultimate blue colors, but the thing we really focus on is we are the ultimate sunset destination. Mm. I mean, everybody comes to Dubai to see the sun, and everyone comes to take photos of the sun, and we have an uninterrupted view of the Arabian sunset, which we think is going to be our pinnacle of the experience. So that is our highest demand product right now.
You've been involved in the tourism and leisure industry for two or three decades now. You've worked on observation wheels like this before. How many punters do they typically pull in a good year? Mohammed Sharaf mentioned that London can do 3 million in a good year. What are you expecting ballpark?
The London does 3 million. Las Vegas does about half of that. I mean, we're in the same ballpark as these markets that are secondary markets. So Dubai is a featured market. You know, it's all based on tourism traffic, and tourism into Dubai is less than both those markets. So we feel like we are going to do quite well with our product. And I can answer that. For you real clearly after we get up and going. So we'll show you how our success will lead our talk.
So what's the business model for a wheel like this? Is it your box standard volume, 130 dirhams a ticket, get as many people on as possible? Or, you know, we're talking about the meeting in the sky at the moment. Are you going aggressively after the corporate market as well?
So we are the ideal celebration for the daytime, because tourists, a lot of times they have less time and they want to do multiple things. So we give them more of a less of a ticket price during our daytime product. But we really focus on those celebrations where it's 180 dirhams. So we look at how we can make that experience better by adding food, beverage, customize your music, customize your decor. All those things make our business model better for the consumers, and that's what makes us the ultimate celebration location. But in this case, we also are a group product, and that is what we're coming from Las Vegas. We really focus on groups, medium-sized groups of 100 to 200, specialize in those areas. We have hospitality areas, we have private areas, even to the point where we can go up to much larger groups. We have what we call the Seaside Plaza that's in front of the Ain Dubai. We can produce corporate events down there with a high production stage, quality food and beverage. It's really that we are a group-focused or a business-focused organization, but also the meetings in the sky. That's the key. We have these large tables in the middle, and we can do business meetings. So if you want to do two rotations, as long as you get your deal done in 76 minutes, it is an ideal location to sit down and really have the ultimate business deal. That's what we like to do.
Tom, you've been looking at some of the entries because we're running the first business meeting in the sky competition this morning, giving people the chance to host that. I'm loving some of the ones that have come in, Tom.
Yeah, some good ones. Strategy meetings up there. A lot of people saying that they would like to meet the business breakfast team on Ain Dubai as well. No shortage of suggestions, even people coming back and suggesting, just getting very creative with a number of the products that they manage at the moment and think that it would be the best place to interact with international clients.
Well, you guys have to come down this week and make this happen. We have to make that happen. You guys come down to the Ain Dubai this week. We will set up that business table for you, and we'll see who can come with the best idea. Well, in Las Vegas, we do a lot of product development, product launches. So it's a great – we used to say that there's 38 minutes to close your deal. That is really how we look at it. So why don't we get you guys down to enjoy the view and also how it works at the Ain Dubai. It's a challenge. Great celebration experience. I think you'll all enjoy it.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, all right. Do you do breakfast?
We'll do breakfast now. We definitely do coffee. we'll make it a fun time for you guys.
We will graciously accept your invitation, particularly me, because I'm the only person in this room who hasn't been on the thing. You went on what, last week, Brandy?
I did indeed. Bit of a sneak preview trial before you opened the doors, as it were. It was exciting. Mm.
Ron, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for coming down. Busy week for you, so appreciate you driving over here to the Dubai Eye studio down in Media City.
Great. Thank you guys all. Thanks so much for your time.
We'll see you down there.
See you down there. Look forward to it. Come on down.
That's the voice of Ron Drake. He is the general manager of Ain Dubai. It opens on Thursday. What time's the first flight? Would we call them flights?
First ride is at 2 p.m., and we have some special celebrations planned for that opening weekend. You'll have some items on the plaza. You have live DJs, and we have a couple. We have a good show for everybody to come see at 8:30, a light show.
Well, I'm going to be down there on Thursday soaking up the atmosphere. I can't promise to be a live DJ for you. Might give you a couple of stock market reports if you're nice.
There you go.
That'll get the party going, won't it?
All of it's entertainment. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.